Hello, and welcome to Philosophical Entertainment, a podcast where if you're not philosophically entertained, then our entertainment is only philosophical. I'm Danny, and I'm a spiritual hypnotherapist. I use gentle forms of hypnosis at my practice, Fable and Echo, to guide clients inwards to find a deeper connection within themselves. I'm very excited to welcome you to the first episode of this new segment, The Hypno Guide, with Fable and Echo. In this episode, I invite you into a space where curiosity is enough, where you don't need to believe anything, prove anything, arrive, or even leave with any certainty. All you need is an open heart and a curious mind for the next wee while, leaving just enough space for possibility. Before we begin today, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge Antara Pathways and their collaboration with this episode. Antara Pathways is a federally recognized nonprofit dedicated to providing support to those navigating grief, transition, caregiving, or end-of-life concerns. I encourage you to check out their work at antarapathways.org. Since this is my very first episode, it only feels right to begin with an introduction. My name is Danny, and if my accent hasn't already given it away, I live in Aotearoa, New Zealand. When I'm not recording or working with clients, I live a fairly quiet but creative life. I spend a lot of time with my dog, Major, and we share our space with three cats who very much believe they're in charge. Nature, animals, and creativity are a big part of how I stay balanced. My main passion is spiritual hypnotherapy. I guide people into altered states of awareness to explore experiences such as past life regression and life between lives journeys. Within these spaces, we explore memories, symbolism, and insight that often arise in ways that can feel both profound and unexpected. Alongside this, I'm always learning. I've been exploring other modalities such as tarot, developing a deeper understanding of intuitive and channeling work, and continuing to expand how different spiritual practices intersect and support one another. I won't claim to know everything. If anything, this segment is a space for curiosity, not certainty. Creativity also plays a huge role in my life. I love pottery, soap making, and art in general. There's something deeply beautiful about creating, and I found that creativity and spirituality often walk hand in hand. I'll be honest, some of the topics we're going to explore here can get a little weird. The entire concept of past lives, soul planning, and expanded consciousness took me a while to wrap my head around. So if you hear ideas that feel unfamiliar or uncomfortable, please know that I've been there too. Curiosity doesn't require blind belief, just a willingness to stay open. Before I ever considered becoming a regressionist, I was simply someone searching for answers. I was trying to make sense of a deep, persistent feeling of disconnection in my own life, a sense that there was something more, even if I couldn't quite name it. Maybe that's why you're listening now, or maybe you've found yourself brushing up against aspects of the unknown that feel intriguing or maybe a little unsettling. I wasn't raised within any religion. Conversations about the afterlife, the soul, higher states of awareness, they simply didn't exist within my home. And yet somehow those questions found me anyway. Interestingly, the moment that shifted everything for me didn't come from a spiritual text or a teacher. It came from a random moment of doom scrolling on social media. I came across a story that captured my attention, a story that would ignite my curiosity and set me on the path to past life exploration. The video I saw was from a woman reading out loud from Dr. Michael Newton's book, Journey of Souls. She described a man who had been adopted as an infant and raised within a strict household. On paper, he was successful, but he struggled with trust, loyalty, and the burden of leadership. This man decided to visit a psychologist, Dr. Michael Newton, and they ended up having a hypnotherapy session exploring childhood memories. Dr. Newton guided him back to his earliest memories, memories from when he was a tiny newborn. He found himself outside a church in Texas. He could feel the coolness of the air against his skin, and there were warm tears dripping onto his face. The tears came from his birth mother as she held him for the final time. Through the access this patient had to the subconscious mind, he was able to understand with clarity that his mother was young, alone, and unable to raise him. His father was married to someone else and had another family. As his mother placed him on the stairs of the church, she whispered to him, "I love you, I will always love you, and I will hold you in my heart forever." Then she knocked on the church door and walked away, not in an act of rejection, but an act of love. Then the session went even deeper. Dr. Newton guided his patient further back, beyond that lifetime, passing through time and space. The man found himself in the hot, sandy deserts of what he knew to be ancient Egypt. In this life, he was a high priest, standing above a crowd, delivering judgment. Before him stood a woman who had stolen from the temple storerooms to feed the hungry, challenging the temple's authority in the process. There was something about this woman that was familiar to him, or rather, familiar to his soul. He had the chance to show her mercy and to choose compassion. But in this role as high priest, pride and fear of losing power outweighed compassion, and he sentenced her to death. And that woman, that familiar soul, it was his birth mother in his current life, the woman who left him at the church. Between lives, the two souls were able to meet again, and instead of anger, there was love and understanding. Together, they reviewed their experiences, their choices, and the lessons still waiting to be learned. They agreed that they would return again, as mother and son, once more, this time choosing separation and loss, not as retribution, but as an opportunity for deeper empathy, compassion, and growth. This story helped me to see difficult experiences from a perspective that I could understand. The notion that life is some kind of test, one where obstacles are set in place and we must perform perfectly to avoid punishment, that idea never sat right with me. If there is love and forgiveness at the heart of existence, why would anyone be punished for living imperfectly? I couldn't understand it. What really shifted for me was understanding that perhaps we don't experience challenges because we're being punished, but because we choose them. The idea of choosing, of having agency, even in the difficult parts of life, somehow felt like it could give us back our power. It reframed suffering not as something to fear or resent, but as something that can teach us, deepen our empathy, and expand our understanding. It was something profoundly liberating in seeing life as a series of chosen experiences rather than a series of tests. It's often through suffering that people begin to ask questions. Many of the people who are drawn to spiritual hypnotherapy carry some form of trauma. That might look like sexual or physical abuse, neglect, experiences of isolation, feeling unseen or misunderstood for long periods of time. For some, it includes spiritual or metaphysical experiences they've never felt safe talking about, moments that didn't fit into the world around them. For some people, spirituality was introduced through fear, shame, control, or a rigid belief system that left little room for curiosity, individuality, or questioning. That kind of experience can leave deep imprints, and it often creates a complicated relationship with faith and trust, both in ourselves and in something greater. These are heavy, real experiences, and they shape how people see the world. What I've noticed, though, is that those who have faced this kind of suffering often develop a deep curiosity about life. They begin searching, not necessarily for answers, but for understanding and a way to reconnect with themselves on their own terms. It's also very possible that if you're listening to this podcast, you've experienced some form of trauma yourself, or you've already began the inward journey, gently unpacking your own story. If that's you, I just want to say this. It takes a lot of courage to do this work, to turn inward, to stay curious rather than closing off, to choose understanding over anger and growth over bitterness. If nothing else, let this space be a reminder that you're not broken for seeking more and you're not alone in doing so. I found the stories of past lives fascinating. Even though nothing had really clicked into place within me, it was still fun to consider all the possibilities. Then I started thinking a little more about my own life and that feeling of being a little bit lost, wondering what I was supposed to be doing, feeling like I didn't quite fit in, questioning my choices, and comparing myself to everyone else who seemed to be so fulfilled. I hoped that if I had a past life regression session, it might give me some clarity. It might highlight some pattern that could help me understand my path, understand my passions, or even my relationships. I'd always question my romantic life, feeling like something was missing, even when things were perfectly fine. Part of me thought that somehow, on a soul level, I might find answers or see the threads connecting my experiences or different people in a way I hadn't considered before. At the same time, there was a lot of fear around actually trying regression. I didn't think I'd be a good client. I worried that I wouldn't be able to relax or be hypnotized and that I might not see anything at all. Then, of course, there was the thought that maybe I'd get all the answers I could dream of and still end up disappointed. So I put it off. Eventually, I came across training in past life regression, and that's when something ignited in me. The hesitation that I'd had before was replaced by curiosity and a sense of possibility. I realized I didn't need someone else to unlock the answers. I could learn the process from the inside out. That decision changed everything. What began as a curiosity became my calling. That feeling of disconnection slowly transformed into discovery. I understood that the journey wasn't about finding some missing piece through someone else's guidance. It was about learning to uncover it for myself. Spiritual hypnosis wasn't just a tool to explore the past. It was a pathway that allowed me to reconnect with my own life, my purpose, and the sense of alignment I've been seeking all along. So my first time being a client for regression, I felt calm. I was with my classmates, but the session still didn't go how I'd hoped. I felt a whole lot of weird sensations and I couldn't make sense of things. I felt like I was upside down and that my hands and feet were meant to be facing the other way. I just couldn't work it out. But that was okay because I reminded myself that I've got forever to get it right. Interestingly, I was the only one in my class of about 20 students who struggled. It felt surprising at the time, but as I've worked with my own clients, I've noticed that most people actually have no problems. They slip into a session with ease, accessing memories and insights very easily. This has helped me understand that while my own early experiences were quite challenging, the process itself is generally far more accessible than I ever imagined. Hypnosis is often misunderstood. It's not about mind control or losing yourself. We enter different states of hypnosis naturally throughout the day. While we're daydreaming, driving on familiar roads, while we're focused on a creative task. In fact, many of the world's greatest thinkers, both artists and intellectuals, have used varying states of awareness to intentionally access ideas from the subconscious mind. Take Thomas Edison, for example. He would sleep sitting up in a chair holding a heavy metal ball. As he began to drift off, the ball would fall and wake him up, and he would be able to capture the ideas that arose in those fleeting moments in that in-between state of consciousness. Hypnosis taps into this access, giving us doorways to ideas, memories, and insights that the conscious mind might not reach so easily. And just like Thomas Edison and many other innovators, anyone can enter this state with the right guidance or practice. Think of the mind as a house, with the conscious mind being the front room full of activity, decisions, and thoughts. The subconscious mind is the basement, storing memories, patterns, and emotions from early life. Hypnosis is the key that opens that basement door, letting you explore these hidden spaces. You might be wondering how hypnosis went from being a clinical tool for psychology to a doorway into spiritual exploration. This was something that happened by mistake. Many of the pioneers stumbled across past life regression material by accident. Take Dolores Cannon, for example. She started as a traditional hypnotist, but her clients began to share memories of past lives. These memories included historical figures, biblical times, and they even went into extraterrestrial experiences. At first, this idea felt strange to me, regressing clients and essentially talking to beings that weren't humans. I had to sit with myself and expand my perspective. I had always been open to the idea that there's more out there than just us. But it took me a while to shift my thinking. Now I've learned that it's okay for people to interpret these experiences differently. Some people see these as literal, some people see these metaphorically, and some people see these as something else. The most important thing is the message and if it resonates with the client. There's amazing insight and guidance and lessons that can be applied to our lives. And honestly, it's a whole lot of fun. So most of the pioneers started with conventional therapy, exploring stress, trauma, and mental health, only to discover that their clients could access memories and insights far beyond ordinary recall. Their curiosity and willingness to follow wherever the sessions led, the commitment they showed to exploring, laid down the foundation for what we know as spiritual hypnosis today. So there you have it. That's a little bit about me, how I stumbled upon this work, and where it came from. My aim with the HypnoGuide is simple. I want to create a space for curiosity, reflection, and exploration, a place where we can look at consciousness through a different lens. This segment isn't about proving anything. It's about asking questions, noticing patterns, and allowing ourselves to explore what might be possible. Future episodes will include more solo reflections and interviews with other regressionists and metaphysical practitioners. Some episodes will also include guided meditations, not as a way to escape reality, but as an opportunity to feel safe in your body. At its heart, this work is meant to be fun. When things start to feel a little strange or unfamiliar, I want to gently remind you to give yourself permission to play. Explore freely, lean into curiosity, and let yourself reconnect with the inner child, the one who loves magic and wonder. Is it real? Is it metaphorical? Is it something entirely different? What matters is the insight you take from it, the joy of exploring, and the way it can expand your perspective on yourself and the world. I'd really love to hear from you. I'd like to know how you're feeling about hearing this kind of modality. What are you most curious about? Do you have experiences, big or small, strange or subtle, experiences that you'd like to share? You can reach me and the rest of the Philosophical Entertainment crew through the website philosophicalentertainment.com. Your reflections, questions, and stories are what make this meaningful. So thank you for joining me on this first episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with a friend who you think may enjoy it too. I can't wait to explore deeper. Until next time, stay curious, stay open-minded, and don't forget to love without delay.